Oh, snap, snap, snap.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Working. Pets are getting sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker. So I'm always looking at, well, what different approach can we take that might be healthier? I mean, I'm seeing, I had another dog 2 years old diagnosed with cancer. It's like, really, that's just so tragic that we're seeing the younger and younger, you know, getting diagnosed. So we need to shake up our approach and look at what we can do differently. So these things that are being used so commonly, it's why I scrutinize them. Because like, maybe we need to take a look at what's being commonly done and, you know, shake things up a little bit and do something different, because the trend is really pretty scary.
And I'm having a conversation today with the one and only Dr. Judy Jasek, J-A-S-E-K. People laugh at me, Dr. Jasek. They're like, I hear your podcast, J-A-S-E-K. And I'm like, well, you know, I have to spell it out, Dr. Jasek, because I wanted to get it. So That's sort of maybe going to be your tagline, J-A-S-E-K, Dr. Jasek.
That's funny.
Dr. Jasek is a holistic vet, a cancer prevention vet. And as you and I were talking prior to the podcast, you're starting to see really young dogs be diagnosed with cancer. So, you know, what do you think's going on? Is it just our world? Is it DNA? Why do you think that young dogs or dogs are being diagnosed with cancer younger and younger?
Well, I think it comes down to basically toxicity. You know, if I had to put one word on it, it would be toxicity. But that can come from the diet, feeding, you know, inappropriate diets like kibble that are inflammatory in the body and with just so many ingredients that can create inflammation in the body, which can lead to cancer. And then the vaccines. I just know that vaccines are playing a role, and that's why we see some young dogs, because young dogs get tons and tons of vaccines when they're puppies, and it really disrupts their immune system. It could disrupt gut function. So what comes at them, they can't handle. So if the vaccines are disrupting the immune system, and then say we have, which I consider vaccines, you know, a form of toxicity. And then say we have an environmental toxin such as glyphosate that they're exposed to, which dogs can just absorb right through their skin, and it's incredibly toxic. And if that, you know, affects the cells, then their immune system is so disrupted by the vaccines that it can't eliminate those abnormal cells. And then if we're not feeding a species appropriate, ideally raw diet, then, you know, they're not getting the nutrition they need either to support the immune system. So that's why I think it's happening younger and younger and younger. It's not just an old dog disease anymore, and it's not just genetic, because we can control the expression of genes through appropriate diet, and we can affect whether or not those genetic predispositions are going to manifest.
Right. Now, one of the things that we are doing, we are in my newsletter, and I will tell everybody here on the podcast, is you, if you have a question for Dr. Judy Jasek, J-A-S-E-K, then you can send it to info@rawdogfoodandco.com. We'll answer one question here on the podcast. So one of the questions that came in, Dr. Jasek, had to do with, you know, vaccines and puppies. And the question was, this dog is a year and a half, wanted to know if they should go ahead and get the rabies shot again right now at a year and a half, and the DAPP-L. So I think that is the parvo distemper, correct? That vaccine. This is a year and a half old dog, getting the notices from the vet that all of you see quite often. Hey, it's time to bring your dog back in. Let me pump some more stuff into him. What would be your recommendation? Would you go through with that or would you not?
Well, on the the parvo distemper combination shots, after assuming that dog had standard puppy boosters, those vaccines should be, based on the vaccine manufacturer recommendations, should be good for 3 years. So they shouldn't even be getting a notice, in my opinion, after a year, that those vaccines should be given, should be completely unnecessary at that point. And if the pet parent wants to know, well, I want to know if my dog is protected, you can do a titer. So I do a three-way titer that tests for parvo, distemper, and adenovirus. So not all of the components in those vaccines, but three key ones. And if a dog has good immunity to those components, then I feel like, okay, they've responded well to the vaccines and they should be good to go. But in my opinion, they shouldn't even be getting a reminder for that vaccine at that age. The other thing that I do is I do monovalent vaccines, which means I give like just parvo or just distemper. So if we did the titer and say for whatever reason they had a low parvo titer, we could give just that one vaccine. We're not hitting them with that big six-way vaccine again. Rabies is a little different because there are regulations. So from an immunity standpoint, you could still do the titer. You could see if the dog is protected. The way the ordinances are written, well, the ordinances basically just say follow the vaccine manufacturer recommendations. There are no actual like rabies laws per se. It's follow the guidelines. If you dig into it and you read the guidelines that the state puts out there, just say follow the recommendations of the vaccine manufacturers. And what they say is that you should booster that in a year. And then after that, you can do every 3 years. So that's a decision, that the pet parents need to make about, you know, following the ordinances, following the rules. It's a little bit different. Rabies is the only one that has implications as far as, you know, you could get fined without it, or if you do decide to license your dog, you're going to be required to have a current rabies vaccine. Chances are, if you did a rabies titer, which you can also do a titer to check for antibody levels, that dog would be fine, and you could check for that. But it's not typically a legal substitution for the vaccine. So rabies gets a little stickier.
Gotcha. But I always say to my pet parents, are you putting them in a kennel? No. Does your dog bite? Always like, there was a show at that, does your dog bite? And the man sticks his hand down there, the dog rah, 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 bites his hand. He said, I thought you said your dog didn't bite. And he said, that's not my dog. that's not my dog. My dog doesn't bite. So I always love that. But yeah, so we have to leave that one up to the pet parents. But again, know the risk, right, of giving those shots. Yep. And I think you as a cancer vet have seen, you know, these poor dogs are just, their bodies, like you said, they cannot fight off our toxic world. And you know what I think people don't think about too, Dr. Jasek, is I hear this a lot, and I'm sure you do too. I watch everything my pet does. My pet, you know, if a dog gets sick, they, you know, I watch them constantly. And I'm like, well, do you know what they're stepping on? Because I mean, like the stuff comes up through their pads or their feet, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. What's in the environment? What are your, you know, neighbors spraying? You know, people say, oh, yeah, I'm really careful. I don't use any chemicals. But if your neighbor does, I mean, we have a neighbor that there's some kind of lawn care or tree care truck in front of her house two or three times a week. And it's like, God knows what they're spraying, and they're right next door. So are we potentially getting that? Yeah. I mean, so that's why it's so important to keep your pet healthy, doing the things that you can control. Like, I can't control that. I can't completely guarantee that my pets are not going to be exposed to a toxin, but I know that if I'm feeding them a good diet and I'm minimizing vaccines and I'm doing all these other things, and their bodies are equipped to handle somewhat of a toxic load. But if you are damaging the gut, you don't have a healthy microbiome, you don't have a healthy immune system, then the liver, is not functioning properly, and the kidneys, then they can't handle the toxic load.
Right. And neither can we, people. Keep your processed food to a minimum. Right? Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk about, you are a very out-of-the-box vet. You decided that you were not going to go the standard quo. You weren't going to be like, the lemmings that just fall over the cliff because they're following everyone else. You do a lot of different, right? I mean, snap out of it, people.
Right, because I'm afraid of heights. I don't even like going towards the edge of the cliff. So.
I have a chapter in my book, the book Snap Yes, The Art of Seeing New Achievable Possibilities in Business and Life, which you can get on Amazon. One of my chapters is, how boxed in are you? How boxed in are you, people? Uh-huh. That you cannot think outside of the box. And I think that we all like our boxes. Why? Because it feels very safe. Feels very safe mm-hmm. to just do exactly what someone has told us to do. Stop thinking for yourself. And let me tell you something. Listen, if you don't want to think for yourself, just go ahead and hand over your wallet to me right now. And you can pay me to think for you. Come on.
Right. There you go.
Pay me big bucks and I will think for you. Well, let's talk about, you do some great things. One of the things that you do, Dr. Jasek, is essential oils with dogs. Now, this is something that I really don't know anything about. I've never used essential oils on myself or my pets. So let's start with the beginning. Why are essential oils something that you use? What's the benefit?
Well, I think there's tremendous benefit to plants in general. So I'm talking, plants, herbs, whole big category. Plants are incredibly powerful medicine that have been used for literally thousands of years. And that's why it makes me crazy when I will hear from somebody on the more conventional side of medicine say, well, it's not evidence-based. And I'm like, okay, so evidence-based medicine is using this pharmaceutical that's been on the market for 6 months, but using plants that have been used for thousands and thousands of years is not evidence-based? Like, come on. But anyway, so plants are very, very powerful. And plants actually, because I do work with cancer patients, plants have a lot of anti-cancer benefits, because this is their own defense mechanism. The way plants survive in nature is because they have chemicals that are antibacterial, that are antifungal, that can have anti-cancer effects. Plants don't get the exact same diseases that we do, but they have substances in them that can help. So this is very, very valid, because this is how plants survive in nature and how they fight off disease in nature. And I'm talking, you go in the forest, there's no gardener, and there's so many species. My husband and I are avid hikers, so we're out in nature a lot. And it's amazing the diversity of plants that live and survive. And there's nobody out there, watering them or protecting them. So plants have this natural survival mechanisms that we can benefit from and our pets can benefit from. But we have to get those components out of the plant. And sometimes if you were to just, say, eat the plant, you may not get all of those components. They have to be extracted in some way. So in the case of essential oils, these are the volatile oils that come off the plant or that are present in the plant. And they're actually extracted by a distillation process. So the plant is heated, so you have steam, and then the oil is collected out of that steam. And that's why they're expensive, because it takes a lot of plant material to create that little bottle of essential oils. It will last a long time. And it can be cost effective. And some of the plants are, you know, not very common. So to get a lot of an uncommon plant, like something I like to use a lot in cancer patients is frankincense. Frankincense has been shown to have amazing anti-cancer properties. I heard a story about a woman once that was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and she put a drop of frankincense on the roof of her mouth like once or twice a day. And she really believes that helped. Her brain tumor went away, and she really thought that made a difference. So the other cool thing about essential oils is they can be absorbed into the body through the mucous membranes or even through the skin. So they don't have to be ingested, which is really nice because sometimes pets don't like the taste of plants. I do, you know, a lot of Chinese herbal formulas and some Western herbal formulas and different things like that. But we have to get them in the pet. And if they don't want to eat them in the food, it can be hard to get these things in the pets. You can put them in capsules, but sometimes that's a problem with some pets too. The oils, you literally can just put on a hairless part of the body, like the inside of the ears, like down on the lower abdomen in between the hind legs where there's no hair, and they are absorbed directly through the skin. I put them in, if I take a bath, I'll put some essential oils in. Not only do they smell good, but you know, things like lavender are very calming. So pets with anxiety, things like lavender, Roman chamomile, valerian, you can get these plants in this oil form that you can just rub a little bit on the skin. You don't have to get them to ingest anything. And you can also diffuse them. I have a little diffuser that I use in my office with some calming essential oils to help the pets, you know, kind of feel a little calm down, and it helps the people calm down too. And then the pets, you know, pick up on the, on their person's energy, and helps everybody kind of take a deep breath. So you can just diffuse them into the room. You could take, you know, like if you had a pet with cancer, you could take this frankincense, diffuse it just into the room, let the pet breathe it in, and it could have benefit that way. So for ease of administration, they're really great. And there's a ton of them out there. You know, there's some big companies that have a lot of education available too about what the different oils can do, and you know, what they can help with. And like anything else, you want to be really careful that they are well processed, ethically produced, and that they're organic, ideally, that the plants, so we're not creating essential oils from plants that are sprayed with pesticides, because we don't want those in the end product. Also, some of the less expensive brands, they do, they'll cut them with other oils, dilute them out with other oils, and just to make them less expensive. So, you know, you do to a certain extent get what you pay for. You want to be really, really diligent, find out how they're sourced, how they're produced, and how they're harvested. The other thing about plant medicine is plants have more of these components at different stages of growth. And then are they Are they harvesting the flower or the leaf or the stem? You know, they might just, you know, take a bunch of the stem from the plant and they can say, oh, we're getting this oil from the plant, but the leaf might have, you know, the highest concentration of the oil. So you want to make sure that the people producing the oils, you know what they're doing. But I mean, there's oils for just about anything. I actually use them for like health cleaning. Like thyme and oregano are strong antibacterials. So I make up like a little vinegar solution and I put essential oils in and a little bit of lemon. And I always joke and say my house smells like salad dressing after I've been cleaning, but I'm avoiding chemicals. You know, I'm avoiding using, I'm super sensitive to chemicals. I just can't stand buying conventional house cleaners because I breathe them in and I just, ugh, my chest hurts and I get headaches and all this stuff. So I really like using them.
So I think I've shied away from essential oils because I don't have a clue how to use them. And to your point, you want to make sure that you're doing it the right way. I've always heard like, okay, you can burn your skin or maybe even the dog's skin if you don't use those properly. So is there sort of a standard, here's how you use essential oils properly so you don't burn yourself or burn your dog's skin?
Yeah, and essential oils typically are pretty safe. Some of them are stronger than others. So this is where getting a little bit of education, you know, a good company will let you know which oils you need to be careful of. Like even like peppermint, like a strong peppermint essential oil, can be a little bit irritating to the skin, especially if you get it on a mucous membrane, or wintergreen. Those strong minty oils can be a little irritating. Your oregano oil is really, really strong. Like you don't, if you put a drop of that in your mouth and you'll really feel it. So getting education about which oils are safe to use directly, like directly on the skin, like if you were going to put it on your pet skin. So ones that are more potent, you can dilute them out. Like you get some organic olive oil or coconut or MCT oil, and you can dilute out the oils. And that's sometimes a good idea. So if you just want to err on the side of caution, like you said, you don't know what effect this oil is going to have, just dilute it out with a organic oil. The problem with some of the oils they dilute them out with, that when they process them commercially, is sometimes they're even petroleum based. They're actually toxic themselves. So if you see an essential oil product that's got all these warnings about for external use only, not safe for ingestion, sometimes that's because they actually have toxic ingredients in them. So you need to be really careful. But yeah, you can just dilute it out a little bit and then try it on your skin or on your pet's skin. You know, you can make yourself, you know, a guinea pig and see, put a little bit on kind of a sensitive area of skin, like on the inside of your arm or something where the skin is thin, and just see if you react to it. See if it burns. They are actually safe. So if it did cause some irritation, you're not causing a, you know, life-threatening toxicity, but you could get some skin irritation.
Now, are essential oils and flower essences different? And if they are, how are they different then? Because I know you use both of those in your practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they are different. And it's in the extraction technique. So there's different ways of extracting these components from plants, and different methods extract different components. So say the simplest is you can make an herbal tea. You could take plant leaves and stems and put them in some hot water, and you're going to extract certain things. But some plants have like more wax in their cell wall, and you won't break that down when you just use water. So you'll get some benefit, but you need something stronger. So a lot of times alcohol is used, which will break down that waxy component of the cell wall and release some of those other components. The essential oils, like I said, are more like a steam distillation process. Flower essences, they always use the flower. So there's different components of the plant. You can use the root, you can use the stem, the leaves, the flowers. And they all can have different medicinal properties. Flower essences specifically use the flower. And these were developed by Edward Bach. So Bach, like the musician, B-A-C-H, and you've probably heard of Bach flower remedies. And that those are probably the original line of flower essences. And there's other lines out there now. But he actually experimented with the using these flowers to treat the emotional component of disease. So these are specifically aimed at helping with emotional states, so such as anxiety. You've probably heard of Rescue Remedy and some of these others that will help calm the pet down. There's some that help with grief, some that help with transition. Pets that are rescued have been bounced around from home to home and have had, you know, some traumas in their life. The flower essences are one of the things that can help with that emotional state, helping the pets get along in the household. Sometimes you can help. And the nice thing about the flower essences too is those you can like just put in the water dish and let them drink it, and that can help kind of calm things down. But they are actually a alcohol extraction, and specifically they use brandy. You could probably use a different, you know, alcohol. But they are specifically used in brandy, and they use the flowers. Dr. Bach actually worked out which flowers are linked to certain emotions. And, you know, a lot of it was by just experimenting on, you know, on himself. He would just take this stuff and see what effect it had and what he noticed, and just kind of worked out what these different flower essences do. So essential oils, you know, also, like I said before, can be used for this emotional state. But the flower essences, that's really what they're designed for. And if you, you know, look into those and research those, you'll see, you know, or usually even on the bottle, they'll say, you know, use this for a certain type of personality type to just help them cope. Because we have, you know, our different dogs, different dog breeds, they have their personalities, and we can't change that. And sometimes we have to help them adapt into our world. And the flower essences are really great at doing that.
Can I use those flower essences on my pet parents? Let me suggest that you take these and calm yourself down. Some of my pet parents I need to do that with. I'm telling
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. The essential oils, you can do that a little more subtly, because you can, like, you know, well, because you talk to more people on the phone. I see people in person, like, I can say, okay, let's use this essential oil on the pet. But then it, you know, the aroma gets into the room and it can kind of help calm everybody's energy down. Sometimes my own. Sometimes I need that. But yeah, if somebody's got, you know, a cup of coffee and you just want to put a couple drops in, you know, family members, you know, whatever, it can definitely help.
I'm going to start carrying a little vial. You know, and I think that people don't associate high stress, tension, anxiety in the home with their pets, right? They don't. I can tell you that if I raise my voice, if I start getting anxious in any kind of way, or, you know, my blood pressure is going up, my German Shepherd will just go upstairs. She's like, I have none of this. Thank you. If she can go outside, she will go outside. So it's really, really funny how sensitive pets are. And just to that point, the other night we were sitting outside and there was a great lightning storm going on, right? The rain hadn't come yet. And she was very calm, but all of a sudden she got up and walked to the door, wanted inside. And as soon as we walked inside, it came the biggest downpour. So she felt that. She knew that it was coming, and she said, let's go inside. So I see this a lot, you know, with pets, and where there's a lot going on in the home. People are moving. We're having babies, job changes, financial stress. There's just all these different things, and your pet picks up on that. So I would think that these essential oils, these flower essences that you have, could be a great asset in the home. Just even if your dog doesn't have cancer, I mean, look, stress is one of the, you know, obviously it raises our cortisol levels, right? And then I just think that these would be great. So people could call you, right, Dr. Jasek? They could set up a phone consultation anywhere in the country. You could advise them on which ones that they could use and how to use them. You could come over to my website, listeners, and sign up for to get notices when we do have a webinar. This would be a great webinar, Dr. Jasek, that we could do on which ones to use and how to use them. But also, can people buy them directly from you? These herbal essences?
Yeah, I mean, I can't. I mean, they're pretty widely available. They're not prescription, but I can. I do retail one particular line of essential oils that I like. And yeah, people can buy directly from me. You can go down to, you know, the natural grocery stores and buy them. Again, you want to be careful about, you know, the company and the sourcing and where they're coming from. And, you know, to your point about, you know, calming down the household, I've done this myself. Like, I go down to natural grocers and there's just so many essential oils. Like, you can go and read about them or like, good Lord, you know, and I've done this, like, I'll have 50 bottles, you know, sitting around because I always want to try them. But they have the little testers and it's kind of fun to go in there and just sniff the little testers and just see what one resonates with you. Because, and even though this is the person, not the pet, calming down and affecting the energy in the home. Like, if you're tense and you're like, we could like help chill out and go and like, oh my gosh, I just love this one essential oil. Like, I just can't stop, you know, breathing it in. It just smells so good. It can actually help kind of with the energy in the household, and that can affect the pet, because the pets really, really do take on our energy. They take on our stress burden to a very, very large degree. So there probably is going to be a link between what you really like and what, you know, may help benefit your pet for the stress reduction.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, we will talk more about these in a future podcast. And again, if you have a question that you would like answered here on the Raw Dog Food Truth, please email me at info@rawdogfoodandco.com. If you would like a personal consultation, a phone consultation, anywhere you are in the country, you can get in touch with Dr. Jasek. The website is drjudyholisticvet.com, or a shorter version is cancer-vet.com. And you know what I love about you? Well, there's so many things that I love about you, but there, one of the things that I love about you that you just demonstrated was this. You don't have this specific line that you're trying to push so that you can make passive income. That is not your aim. Your aim is to take care of pets and to make a mark in the world, leave your mark in the world, an honest, heartfelt mark in the world to help pet parents become educated, to help them navigate this world of crazy, for the health of their pets. And you and I, we see this all the time where certain vets become the celebrity vets, and before you know it, they're hawking a line that maybe isn't the best for our pets. And I hate to see that. I really do. But I'm telling you, money, when you are waived a big, substantial amount of money mm-hmm. to push something, perspectives change. And maybe mm-hmm. not for the better, right? Mm-hmm. And this yeah. is very, very disappointing. And so, again, we say this all the time. The onus is on you, pet parents, and there is no magic bullet. You say that on your website. You're like, look, there's no magic bullet. Mm-hmm. I can't snap my fingers and make it all better. There's going to have to be some education and some work on your part. But I, you know, you just... Folks, you just got to align yourself with people that you really trust. And you got to ask the questions, why do I trust that person? It's just like all yeah. the research.
And anytime, I would say anytime you hear a product promoted as a one size fits all, like all pets should be on this, and it's going to take care of, you know, a number of different problems in any pet, I would just stay away from those products. And not that the products themselves are necessarily bad, but I think when a company or an individual is making claims like that, it's because of the money. It's a selling point. Every pet is an individual, and there just is no one size fits all. I believe firmly you have to start. You have to start with good nutrition, get the good nutrition basis. There's just no way you're going to supplement out of a bad diet. It just can't be done, not for people and not for pets. You have to have that nutritional foundation. And then we see how the pet's doing. And then if we need to provide further support for the pet, whether it's, as we were talking about, on the stress end, do we need to help relieve anxiety or, you know, skin issues, which are so rampant. But every pet is different. Itchy skin comes from, and we talked about this already, so many different causes. We have to look at that individual pet and their history. History is so important. What's been done, you know, where has this pet come from? What have they been exposed to? What were they eating last year? Because sometimes these things start, previously, months before we actually see the symptoms. So we have to look at the pets as an individual. You can never do a one size fits all. And any time you hear that, or you hear product guarantees, or every pet, or always, or never, those words, then really, really highly scrutinize those products and those people that are saying it too.
Right, right. There's probably a big money component behind it. And as we tell everybody, look, you know, if I knew why a dog did this or did that, or liked this blend or didn't like that blend, or hates lamb but loves turkey, or hates turkey and loves duck, you know, I would be a gazillionaire. I have no idea. I don't know.
Right, ask the dog, right?
Right, right. And I'm not Dr. Doolittle. I mean, I just, you know, I have no idea. Well, we so appreciate you being on the podcast today. Next week, we're going to have another exciting podcast with Dr. Jasek. Remember, send in your questions. Don't give me a long, you know, this question, that question, this question. Just give me one question. What's your most pressing question that you would like to ask Dr. Jasek? Go over to her site. You've got so much great information. Again, Dr. Judy Holistic Vet, a true holistic vet. There's a lot of people that are throwing that name out there right now, but look at the minimal vaccines is a big clue, and then what they're pushing. All right. Thank you guys so much. We will see you next week.
Oh, snap, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.